Hello, my friends. Michael Youssef here, and I just wanted to thank you for connecting with Leading the Way. Our entire team is wholly committed to passionately proclaiming uncompromising truth of God's Word, and it cannot be done without you. Learn more about what God has charged us to do around the world by clicking around ltw.org. That's ltw.org. Thank you, and may God richly bless you as you seek to serve Him.
I believe we are living in one of the most dangerous and yet exciting times of all times. How come these are dangerous times? Well, these are dangerous times because we are hearing so many deceiving gospels across the land. Dangerous times because there are so many, indeed countless numbers, who are being deceived by these deceptive counterfeit gospels in the pews of the churches. Dangerous because of so many of these false gospels are preached from many a pulpit in America today. You say, how come these are exciting days if you think that the country is going to hell in a basket, spiritually speaking? But they are exciting times, and I'm going to tell you why. They are exciting because for the first time in many years, Christians are forced to know what they really believe. These are exciting times because for the first time in many years, Christians are forced to distinguish between churchianity and Christianity. These are exciting times because it is for the first time in many years there is a clear separation, there is a clear line of demarcation between the true believers in Jesus Christ and those who are into religiosity. I want to give you some examples of these false gospels that seem to have snuck on us so suddenly and so quickly. And they are preached as if it is the true gospel of Jesus Christ. And then I'm going to distinguish these false gospels or almost right gospels and the true gospel of the Lord. Now, I believe with all my heart that if there is a desperate need today is to help Christians to be able to sort out the truth from fiction, to be able to sort out the truth from the almost truth, because make no mistake about it, most deceptions are look-alike the truth. They're almost the truth, but they're not the truth. You know, by nature, I am like the FBI agent who was assigned to bust a counterfeit currency operation. And he spent weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks studying the real thing so that when he saw the counterfeit, he recognized it. But that's my natural instinct. But from time to time, it is of absolute necessity to be able to expose falsehood, to be able to call them for what they are, and to be able to bring them up to the light of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what I'm going to do today. And I'm going to identify five counterfeit gospels that are preached as if they are the true gospel of Jesus Christ. The first one is what I call multiculturalism. Now, most of you know me, but those who are watching by television and listening by radio said, wait a minute, what is he talking about? I mean, looking at you, you look like somebody from another culture. You'll be the last one to preach about against multiculturalism. You're the last person who should attack multiculturalism. Well, if you have thought that, you're already being deceived by that false gospel, and that's why you need to listen very carefully. Others probably going to say, well, but wait a minute, isn't Christianity supposed to be multicultural? Doesn't the Bible say that the believers in Jesus Christ are going to be coming from every nation, from every tribe, from every tongue, etc., etc.? Yes. But there's a world of difference between the Church of Jesus Christ gathered from all corners of the globe, from every culture, and multiculturalism as it is preached in the media and in the schools and the colleges of today. The world of difference. I want to explain that to you. Here's what multiculturalism gospel teaches. They teach that all cultures and therefore all religions are of equal value. They are equally true. Now, this counterfeit gospel says that there are values in every culture, that there are truth in every culture, and their truth and the values are of equality in nature. Therefore, every religion is as good as the other. You see what I mean by the deception? It looks good on the outside. It looks real on the surface. But the danger of this deception is the denial of the very heart of the gospel of Jesus Christ, is the denial of the very heart of the Christian faith, is the denial of the very core of what it is to be a Christian. It is a denial of biblical truth. What is biblical truth? Here's what biblical truth said. Biblical truth is objective. Biblical truth transcends all cultures. Biblical truth has power to transform culture. Biblical truth compels all members of all cultures to come to terms with the demands of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Either accept it or reject it. You cannot do both. You cannot say that all truths are equal and you can call yourself a Christian, because by the very fact you made that statement, you have denied the very heart of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Biblical worldview says that Jesus and Jesus alone claims and claimed to be the truth, the only truth. Biblical worldview says that Jesus and Jesus alone claim to be the only giver of eternal life. Jesus and Jesus alone claim to be the only way to God the Father, the only way that is accepted by God the Father. Jesus and Jesus alone can forgive sins, heal diseases, restore relationships, and transform lives. Jesus and Jesus alone is the only way to heaven, and that is the undeniable truth. This being the whole gospel, therefore, all the others are false. They cannot be too true. Now, don't misunderstand me. There are some truths in other cultures. There are some truths in other religions. For example, in Islam, their holy book, the Quran, says that Jesus was born of a virgin. That's true. There is truth in that. Now, they said that Jesus was sinless. There's truth in that. It's the truth. So they contain some truth, but it's not the truth. The same goes for Buddhism, Hinduism, secular humanism, and the rest of it. There's only one truth, and his name is Jesus. There can be no two conflicting truth. But like it or not, all man-made system, multiculturalism, must be confronted. It must not be winked at. It must not be laughed at. It must not be smiled at. It must be confronted, because it is Satan's way to muddy the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ, and we should not tolerate it. The second counterfeit gospel is what I call, or what they call, really, not me, tolerance. You've heard of that, haven't you? The so-called tolerance gospel that is preached from many a pulpit today, in the media, across the land. As most of you know, I used to belong to what is known as one of the mainline denominations. And many of you are aware of the fact that a vast number of the leaders in the mainline denominations deny the core of biblical orthodoxy. They do not subscribe to biblical orthodoxy. You say, what is biblical orthodoxy? Well, if you're taking notes, take them fast. I'm going to give it to you very fast. That Jesus is God of very God. That Jesus preexisted with the Father in heaven before his earthly life, before his birth. that Jesus was born of a pure virgin, that Jesus lived a sinless life, that Jesus died for the sin of all those who will believe in Him and surrender to Him and accept His atonement, that He physically and literally on the third day got up out of the grave and walked the streets of Jerusalem and walked the streets of Israel, that He and He alone is coming back and He will judge every human being that has ever lived on the face of this earth, and He will judge them based on their acceptance or rejection of His Lordship. That's biblical orthodoxy. Did you write that? In those days when I belonged to such a denomination, who denied most of this, what I just told you, I would go to clergy meetings. Literally, I would rather have a flogging. I am not kidding you. I would rather be flogged, but I did go. And I would hear the word tolerance bandied about. Tolerance, tolerance, tolerance. I said, well, you know, I must be wrong. At least if they are preaching the gospel of tolerance, they may tolerate me. I know I'm not easily tolerated. I know that. I'm not a very tolerable guy. But listen, I thought, well, at least I can challenge them. Now, I didn't realize, of course, that tolerance is a word that is used by them to slap the faces of any of us who believed in biblical orthodoxy. Those of us who oppose to the legalization of all forms of sin. So whenever the discussion got into one of those sticky wickets of whether homosexuality or the divinity of Christ or the universalism, which said that everybody's going to go to heaven, doesn't matter what they believe, one of those sticky wicket subjects, you know, when it comes up, whenever I would try to present biblical truth, I would be hounded. I mean, hounded down, shouted down, called a bigot, called a narrow-minded, intolerant. Wait a minute. What about tolerating what I'm saying? You call that fair-mindedness? Now, I used to think that the liberal is a person who would at least is willing to listen to the other point of view. But I've changed my mind since then. Well, one day, I got two or three in a corner there whom I thought, at least in my heart of heart, they would be honest and level with me. And they were, really. They were so blunt, were open. I said, please explain to me. I'm a poor immigrant boy. I'm not very bright. Just explain it to me. And I'm ready to accept what you tell me. Why don't you tolerate my biblical orthodoxy? Why don't you tolerate the preaching of the pure gospel that has not got messed up in the last 50 years? What you preach. I was told by these dear people, bluntly, honestly, they're saying preaching tolerance is our way of keeping you conservatives. That's what they call Christians. Believe it or not. I don't like the word. I'm not conservative or liberal. I am a Bible-believing Christian. Period. So that we will shut you up so that we can get our agenda, we the liberals, and that's what they like to call themselves, we get our agenda through. I've got to admire their honesty. I mean, they really remind me of the boy who brought his school card home. And he gave it to his dad, and his dad looked there, and he saw everything. He got F in every subject. F, 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 F. The father had a sense of humor, and he said, well, at least I know you're being honest. You did not cheat. At least they were honest, which I would have to give them credit for that. But here is the core, here's the bottom line of the gospel of tolerance that is preached and bandied about today in the media, in politics, in the church, is that Bible-believing Christians must tolerate blatant disobedience to God's standards, to God's word, without protest. That's really the bottom line of that gospel. To tolerate heretical views about Christ and about the Bible and about our faith without opening our mouth. That's the core of the gospel of tolerance. And all the while, the enemies of the gospel demand complete freedom to propagate their heretical worldviews. And again, I just cannot tell you. I mean, the astounding thing to me is that they call this fair-mindedness. And that is why tolerance is a false gospel. It is a false gospel. Those of us who love the Lord Jesus Christ are not just tolerant. Tolerance is like biting your tongue. Tolerance is like seething with anger, but you kind of hold it back. No. That's not our call as followers of the Lord Jesus, as disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. Our call is to love our enemies. When they curse us, we love them. When they hate us, we love them. When they don't tolerate us, we love them. No matter what, we are called to love those who hate us. That is the core of the Christian gospel. Today in the secular media, slick politicians have learned how to use this trump card called tolerance. The media people have learned how to use this trump card, but they learned it from those in the mainline churches. That's really where they learned it from. And they use this trump card mainly to silence the opponents, namely the committed Christians. Here is the truth about tolerance. Tolerance is a positive word. On its face value, tolerance is a beautiful word. On its face value, it's a great word. But they turned it on its head and they used it to silence historical Christians. This should neither surprise us on the one hand, nor silence us on the other. It shouldn't surprise us because, like all falsehoods, they take a beautiful word, they would take a positive word, and they twist its meaning and club us with it. But we must not never be intimidated into silence or deception, but rather expose falsehood for what it is. And like it or not, my beloved brothers and sisters, we are commanded to love them. No option. We have no other option. The third false gospel that is preached today is that whole notion of political correctness. Again, if you take the word on its face value, political correctness is good. If for by political correctness they mean that we should treat people who are different from us, whether by background or gender, with respect, we're all for that. If by political correctness they mean that we do not use hateful words or attempt to stereotype groups of people, we are absolutely at the forefront of that. But that's not what they mean. That's what they tell you they mean, but that's not what they mean. Because if you try to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with a follower of the political correct religion, or if you try to, as I did a few years ago, close a public prayer in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, man alive, you will see the wrath of the politically correct crowd. You will soon discover that the very proponent of political correctness would hurl accusations upon you and sometimes even use language that's not in the dictionary. They would be quick to tell you that what you believe, it doesn't matter. What others believe does. Oh, by all means, offend your own convictions, but do not offend mine or anybody else's for that matter. Even if you represent the vast majority of the population, that doesn't make any difference to them. Today, corporations across America spending millions upon millions upon millions of dollars on political correctness training to their staff. Forced into it, manipulated into it, blackmailed into it, they had to do it. And all is to stop Christians from sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. And don't tell me that the devil is not live and well. To be sure, our worldview as Christians compels us to be at the forefront of sensitivity. Absolutely. After all, Jesus told us that we are to love those who hate us. But never once in the Bible, listen carefully, never once in the Bible we are told to withhold God's truth lest it may offend somebody. On the contrary, the scripture tells us again and again that people will be offended when you live the gospel, when you preach the gospel, when you share the gospel. People will be offended. Jesus, who preached the gospel of love, hung on a cross for preaching the gospel of love. He told us that the gospel will divide people. The gospel will divide families. The gospel will divide nations. And therefore, we must never give in to this. And we must insist that political correctness that deprives us of our freedom to express our biblical worldview is a Gestapo tactic to silence the truth. And we'd be willing to die for it. The fourth thing, quickly, is revisionism. This is the fourth false gospel that is rampant, particularly in our education system. In the last 30 years or so, there seemed to be, at least to my way of thinking, in America, a strong movement to rewrite its history. Some school textbooks devote no more than one line to the first president of this nation, George Washington, while there are several pages, several paragraphs, about some obscure African king that nobody of us heard of. Now, listen to me now. As a person who was born in Africa, I find that to be utter foolishness. Some school textbooks devote more space to Muhammad and Islam than to the Christian commitment of the founding fathers. That's insanity. And one of the reasons the revisionists that they give for this revision of history is they say, well, you know, America is a land of many immigrants now. And they come from different cultures, and we need to be sensitive to their backgrounds. Well, that's nothing new. America's always a nation that welcomed immigrants with open arms. America is a nation of immigrants. And with all due respect from an immigrant, let me say, thanks, but no thanks. You cannot use an excuse of being sensitive to immigrants in order to muddy the truth. Come on, folks. You cannot use the excuse of being sensitive to immigrants to change the facts of history, whatever they may be. That's falsehood. That's lying. And any honest immigrant would tell you that we did not come to America to alter its identity. That we did not come to America to cover up its godly heritage. We did not come to America to rewrite its history books. We did not come to America to vandalize its solid biblical foundation. No. In fact, most immigrants came to this country because they love and revere the Christian values of this great nation. That's why we're here. Many immigrants came to this country because they longed to embrace America's Christian worldview. Most immigrants came to this country to escape the tyranny of the real intolerance, the tyranny of the imposing of their worldview. Most immigrants came to this country because they appreciate the Christian value of human life. At least it used to be. Something that you do not experience in other countries. Think about it. If the cultures that we came from were so great and wonderful, we would be still there. The fifth thing that I want to share with you that is a falsehood that is preached today is what I call the false dichotomy. And this false dichotomy affects believers. And this particular controversy, if you like, is among Christians and is dividing Christians right now. Is tearing up brother against brother and sister against brother, right? Among the evangelicals in the United States. And I lift this to the end deliberately because it does affect every one of us who know the Lord Jesus Christ. This false dichotomy is running rampant among Christians today. And it goes something like this. Christians have to choose between two equally important commitments. They are, one, focus on evangelism and prayer and have nothing to do with politics, have nothing to do with the political and the social arena, have nothing to do with the cultural war that is taking place. On the other hand, some are saying, no, what you need to do is to get involved and get engaged in the cultural war through political means, for that is the only hope to change the nation. Now you understand why I call it a false dichotomy. The problem is that each of these views are half right. Furthermore, we must never have to choose between the two. I believe this is a false dichotomy, and call it for what it is. If you look at the scripture, you're going to find many, many examples of the prophets of God. Now, primarily, every one of the prophets primarily had a message either to Israel or Judah, either to the northern kingdom or the southern kingdom. So mainly they had a message to the people of God. But if you read very carefully, you're going to find that most of the prophets, if not all of them, while they saw this as their primary mission, they looked over across the land to the Babylonians and the Assyrians and the Egyptians and the Persians. And they looked across the land and they said, you too, these you heathen nations cannot escape the judgment of God. They looked to the other nations and they said, you too are going to be judged for your sins. While they preached to God's people primarily, they were not silent toward those who do not know God, those who deny God, those who resist God. So it's not this or that, it's both. They gave a word of warning, they gave a word of judgment, they gave a word of condemnation. Why? Because our God is not just the God of the Christians that He is, but He is the Creator God and He owns the whole world. Our God is not just the God of the believers, which He is, but He owns this world. This is His own world, and He cares for what happens to it. And therefore, we are under obligation to remind the unbelieving world that God, who owns this universe, has His own set of standards that they must adhere to. That the God who owns this universe has His own set of morals that they must conform to. That the God who owns this universe has His own set of absolutes that they must follow for their own good. Our God owns this universe, and He set a day in which He will judge the universe, every single human being in the universe, on the basis of His absolutes. And chief among His absolutes is His Son, Jesus Christ, and He will judge them on the basis whether they have received Him or rejected Him. It is my prayer that if there's a single person here today who has never committed their life to Jesus Christ, that would not leave this place without accepting the only hope for heaven, the only way to salvation, the only way to eternal life. You're a sinner by birth, I'm a sinner by birth. You're a sinner by practice, I'm a sinner by practice. And God's justice said that our sin condemns us to eternity in hell. But Jesus Christ standing today saying, there's another way. That's me, my cross, my blood was shed for you. You can come to Him today, and you can receive His forgiveness, and you can receive eternal life. But you see, the Bible does not tell us that we have to choose between two truths within the Word of God. In fact, let me give you some biblical examples just to illustrate what I'm trying to tell you here. When Moses was fighting the Amalekites, what did he do? He went up to the mountain, held his staff, which is a sign of prayer that he was surrendering to God. And for hours, even when his arms got tired, two people came and held his arms because he knew that without the power of God, they are dead meat. But at the same time, his number one man, Joshua, was down in the valley fighting the Amalekites. It's both and. Nehemiah comes in and sees the mess in the nation. The walls are down. Morality is down. The world is falling apart. And he told the people they need to do two things simultaneously. Have the sword in one hand and the trowel in the other. Jesus said, watch and pray. It is both and, not either or. It is both watching and warning. It is both interceding and intervening. It is both fighting and praying. It is both proclaiming and claiming. Because I'm going to tell you something very important. Don't forget this. False dichotomies are always Satan's strategy to weaken and divide Christians. It really is. When you come into the presence of God, open your scripture and ask God to show you. That is Satan's strategy from the beginning. Nothing new. False dichotomies are always Satan's strategy of turning Christians against Christians so that they do not unite in the battle. Satan's strategy is for false dichotomies to get us to stand separately instead of standing together. Let's not give him an inch. Shall we pray? In the sacredness of this moment, if there's a person who says, Michael, I've been into religion and into churchianity. I'm a fifth generation Presbyterian or Episcopalian or Methodist or Baptist, but I have never really committed my life to Jesus Christ. Today is the day. Someone can say, well, I've been into these false dichotomies all my life. I've been divided in my heart and mind. And I have never understood the unity of the Spirit. Today you can say, Lord God, unite my heart for the fear of Thee. Father God, I thank You that Your word will not return to You void. That as Your word is proclaimed, You have called men and women in this very place to come and follow You and serve You. Receive Your forgiveness and eternal life. And for that, I give You thanks. Amen.